You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show. This is episode 957. We've got a returning friend of the show and a regular on our monthly roundtable show. We've got Spencer Forum with us, the founder of WP Launchify, a well-known WordPress influencer and elder. it should be a great show. We're going to be discussing, are we doomed? Doomed, my beloved tribe. Are we doomed? Are we going to be replaced by the dreaded AI? You know, it's already some influencers hinting that we're already doomed.
I'm ready.
I'm quite hilarious. Yeah, he's ready. Should be a great show. Some great insights. So, Spencer, can you give us just a quick 10-20 second intro and we go into your background in more detail in the main part of the show?
My pleasure. Always enjoy being here with both you fellas. This is Spencer Forman, and I've been around WordPress since almost the beginning, 2006. And my primary living is helping people build their online businesses with WordPress. But the systems I use are essentially, think of WordPress as if it was a service, so that I help people like with the outcomes, not just all the parts. And I also have regular office hours and other shows on YouTube. But John and I and Kurt and I have all been pals and working together. So this is a fun topic to see how far we've come with WordPress after all these years.
That's great. And I've got my ever great co-host, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Sure, Jonathan. My name is Kurt Von Annen. I own an agency called Mañana No Más. We focus largely on membership and learning websites and work directly with WP Tonic and the great folks at Lifter LMS.
That's fantastic. Before we go into the meat and potatoes of this great show and topic, got a message from one of my major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
We're coming back, folks. I want to point out we've got some great special offers from the sponsors. Plus, we got a created list of the best WordPress plugins and services, all tried by the WP Tonic agency and hosting company. So they're all quality products with some special pricing as well. You can get all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals. What more could you ask for, my beloved WordPress professionals? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get for that.
You know what I was going to say, but I'm not going to say it.
No, you did remain silent for a while. I know it was difficult, Spencer, but you did control yourself.
Decaf.
Yes. I know controlling yourself is extremely difficult, but there we go. So, Spencer, maybe you can delve in a little bit more detail about how did you get into the kind of semi-crazy world of WordPress and SaaS? And, you know, because your background's, my understanding is the law and property development, but how did you get into the crazy world of online business, SaaS WordPress?
So I'm going to put it in a visual so people can follow.
Is it clean?
Clean enough. Everybody's heard of the hero's journey, but for the Gen X crowd, go Gen X. Let's think of the VH1 Behind the Music. The hero's journey looks like this inverted bell, and you kind of start at the bottom and you work your way up and then you hit this top thing and drama. And then you find yourself in this, I think, enviable position at the end of the drama where you enter the third part of the journey. The first part is up, the second part is the curve, the third part is the down. So I'm about 19 years into WordPress roughly, and it started when I was going through a lot of personal turmoil and business change because I had two young kids. I had a third one on the way. I was divorced, fighting for child custody. I was a practicing real estate developer who had tons of property and lots of tenants. Everything was going well, but the world was pulled out from under us in those days in 2006, 7, 8 through 11 because of the changes in the banking industry. So myself and many of my peers had to look for alternative things to do. And I had a moment in time when I really literally had to choose about whether I was going to go back to some of the skills I had, like practicing law, which would have been a really backward step for me because I'd come from law to real estate, or if I was going to try something new. So one of my passions was flying, and there was this new thing that was a SaaS solution called Ning, started by a then singular billionaire, Marc Andreessen, and his ex-girlfriend, Gina Bianchini, who now runs the company of the same name, Mighty Networks. But back then, they called it Ning to repurpose some of Marc Andreessen's technology they had tried to sell the industry called Loud Cloud. And they said, build a social network for any reason. And I was captivated by the idea that I could share some of my flying adventures, both video and photography, even in the rudimentary form before YouTube. It got me hooked on what technology could do. The downside was I had a great degree of accidental success in that social networking that led to me being vaulted into a position of being very well paid and learning how wonderful and amazing it can be to be in software. When they shut everybody down, we ultimately found ourselves going through this journey we'll tell on another day to WordPress. And the cool thing about WordPress is back then, Matt Mullenweg said, do it for whatever you want. Build it for whatever you want. You own it, control it. And that was really a refreshing change from what had just happened. Well, that's what I've been doing the last 18 years, showing people how to basically recreate their own business processes in WordPress. But we've been slowly building up the library of stuff that's necessary. We finally achieved that. And guess what? That's when the politics of WordPress almost make it like a deja vu, because now Mullenweg is acting a certain way about the things that we've all built. And I'm here to say good news. Unlike the last time, this time we all can choose to do whatever we want because the software is open source. And here I am, sort of like hero's journey over the top, ready to enter the third phase of life, doing exactly the kind of stuff that I like to do. And then I think a lot of Gen X and boomers would appreciate knowing how to do as well, because that's what our future looks like when AI has replaced a lot of the other mundane tasks. So that was my long, short version. Hopefully not too long.
No, it's fine. I just got a quick follow up for your question that's always puzzled me. Well, not puzzled, but I want to ask you before I throw it over to Kurt. What was it about the law that made it so personally very unattractive to you to go back to your roots and the law?
Have you ever seen the movie Gladiator, the good one with Russell Crowe, not the second one? The second one's okay, but the first one with Russell Crowe, the paradox of his hero's journey, which I feel represents some of my own choices, is that I was exceptionally good at being a trial attorney. I did medical malpractice, product liability, and so. But after working on the defense side and realizing that was a game of delay and slow down people and cheat people, I went to the plaintiff side, which somebody would argue as its own smarminess. But like Russell Crowe in Gladiator, to be successful at that, you had to find people who had horrific injuries and problems. Then you had to go in and kill, 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 win, win, win. There was never any opportunity in trial work for a mutually beneficial outcome. It was kill or be killed. So like Russell Crowe didn't want to fight anymore, but he had to fight and kill people to get to where he wanted to be with his wife and kid in the afterlife. I'm hoping to do this without going to the afterlife. But I'm saying if I had gone back to doing trial work, I would have basically never been able to end up where I am today, which is building the kind of life and the outcome that could be mutually beneficial for everybody. Because as anybody who listens to me or heard me before has said, I am very, very much a humanist and a new age person. And I believe that humans are on the cusp of, let's say, greatness, of understanding how capable we are of supporting and loving each other and doing all good. But we have to get through a lot of stuff to get there.
Right, T.O.? Over to you, Kurt.
Isn't it cool when you go over the hump in the bell and you can kind of do whatever you want?
It's a crazy ride. And I want to say I'm not there yet, but I am using the tools and I'm trying to help other people realize. Jane Fonda talked about in a podcast she did with Julia Louis-Dreyfus from Seinfeld. She's, you know, Jane Fonda had a really controversial youth and then she was married to two different billionaires. And she says, like, the third chapter of my life is going to be drama-free and all about me. And not in a selfish way, but that's the way anybody who's gotten to 50 plus feels about life, right? Like, I only have so many dots left on my little punch card. I got to use them in a valuable way. And all of the drama of the things that, you know, motivated you in earlier days is not as important. So that's what I feel like as well. It's like, I have an opportunity as the elder statesman to influence the marketplace of WordPress, to influence the markets of other people in my generation who want to do things differently, and hopefully influence humanity in my own little tiny way, person to person.
Nice. Well, I got to jump us on to our next question. I don't think the timing could be better, seeing what WordPress.com posted on their X account yesterday.
It's most bizarre, isn't it? I thought this would be a good topic. Yeah. This happens, doesn't it, Kurt?
The timing is just uncanny. But it says, just dropped.
It's amazing.
Just dropped. The new, it's new. It's a free AI website builder on WordPress.com.
I've never seen that before.
Tell AI what you need and get a fully built website in minutes. No coding, no drag and drop, no stress.
Right.
Handles all the layout, the images and text. You can tweak anything. Just ask AI.
I tweak everybody anyway with my personality. But what I want to say about that is it's amazing. There's another one that came out that's called Relationship Builder, AI Relationship Builder. It's so awesome. You go there and you just type one sentence about the perfect relationship you want, and it just automatically fixes everything in your life. Just exactly the same as this page builder does for building websites. Just type a sentence and the whole thing is done. It's fine. You never have to do anything else ever again.
So I know I have
nobody ever.
I know we have some thoughts, but connected to AI and people feeling like freelancers and agencies and people are going to get pushed out of space. Where are you at? Like, do you think we're really going to push freelancers and agencies out of the space? Or do you think people are going to get so overwhelmed by the AI drama and shiny object that they're going to go, oh my God, I'm overwhelmed. I need help anyway.
Are you Sarah Connor? Okay. So here's what I think. Imagine that snow globe that you used to keep on your desk, right? With a little Santa. And you take that. That's the world we live in.
Citizen Kane, here we come.
Citizen Kane, right. He's on his deathbed, by the way, asking about Rosebud, which is also hero's journey. Like, all that mattered was that thing from his childhood. You shake it up. The way I view the AI situation is this is shaking up the current status quo where people had been utilizing the tools that normal people don't necessarily have access to in order to achieve things that are not really in alignment with the value they're delivering. Okay, so not pointing at any particular person, but we all know that the tools exist for somebody who stumbled in the past on luckiness to put together the same powerful results as an agency might charge $250,000 for, hardly with a straight face in today's world. The agency is taking advantage in the same way that the cable company says, oh, we're going to add HBO. It's going to cost you another $60 because we got to send more data down your cable. Everybody knows there's no more data. The data is already there. They're just choosing what to rip me off on. Okay. So by shaking up the snow globe and making it mainstream that AI is everywhere, what I think in a very thumbs up positive way for freelancers who wish to have human relationships, you are going to be killing it. Winning, 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 winning. Why? Because now everybody and their mother has heard this term AI about their business, about their this, about their that, and they all got to figure out how to, I need that AI thing. Well, guess what? You can now be their liaison, their concierge to the AI world. But guess what you got to stop doing? You got to stop believing the BS that there's a AI page builder, website builder that you just type a sentence into and it's done. Because that is just as fake as my example of like a relationship maker that you can type a sentence into. Relationships are a give and take, an up and down, a drama day, and a wonder. It's a lifestyle. And you have to be the same way when it comes to building websites. Even if you just choose a bunch of blocks, that's actually closer to the final result and the skills you need than typing words into AI. What AI allows you to do, I'm sure we'll talk more about, is to have more capability in one human with less work. So instead of me needing 5 or 6 freelancers or 12 people, Spence solo can do what 12 people used to do and do it better, but not by pretending that I can just have AI do it all for me magically. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, yeah. I know Jonathan's got an extension question on AI. I'll turn it over to Jonathan.
Oh, well, you caught me out, Sam. You caught me out. Yeah, I totally see where you're coming from, and I agree. I just, you know, it's a tool. It's a fabulous tool. Large language models. It's amazing what they can do. But then you got this whole discussion about general AI, general intelligence. You know, you got scientists, people that I semi-respect, and they're saying, well, it's going to change society in the next 5-7 years and totally replace some of the big bedrocks of our society. And I just kind of roll my eyes because I just don't understand how you can make such predictions with such cast iron conviction. What's your own response to that?
So we were talking a moment ago, not in jest, about when you get over a certain point in your life, you just no longer are reactive to predictions and things of drama. It's just, it wears you out. So for example, I lived through in my youth, the Russians are going to murder all of us, nuclear weapons. Then next day, one day, all of a sudden, we're friends with the Russians. Then I lived through all the various viruses and contagions. I lived through Y2K, guaranteed January 1st, 2000, the world is over. Then I lived through the December 2012 prediction. And now we're at, you know, there's a million other things that I do believe are probably happening or going to happen. But the end of the day, AI by itself is not capable of replacing the final mile, which is until or unless there literally are Terminator robots walking around with AI that can impersonate humans or something else that involves, you know, some very new agey thing. As long as humans are the ones receiving the benefit of it, we've already seen how this works in practice. There needs to be a cultural choice or a humanity choice, which is, by the way, I think relevant. We live in a world of infinite abundance, and I'm not going to go on a soapbox on this, but what I think is important to realize is historically, of all recorded human history, societies have only worked when there is a somewhat balanced differential between the haves and the have-nots, because the skills that we're all doing now were promised when I was a kid watching the Jetsons to not be necessary. The point at which we had these computers and all this technology was so that we could sit around in our sky city just having a ball and maybe showed up at Spacely Sprockets for some reason, but like not having to work 10 jobs to afford a taco on a loan from Klaviyo, which is where we're at today. So the real...
I took my load out yesterday, actually.
Right? I needed extra cheese. Hold on. I'm waiting for my approval. Is that we need a distribution. This isn't a politics thing. This is a human. We need a distribution that represents the true. What's the reason we're all here doing all this for? Like, are we making websites to earn money because it's helping humanity? Or are we doing it to earn a living to pay for food? Because at the end of the day, there's lots of things that we should have had removed by robots and AI a long time ago. That's awesome. The things that they shouldn't be doing is making people going back into factories in 2025. It should be like, we should all be pursuing a higher purpose. Like, teaching, education, music, something. But the problem is society is a capitalist society and I'm a capitalist. You can't just jump off from like yesterday we all made fabrics by scratch to looms like in the turn of the century with Luddites. You can't do that without friction. And this is what we're experiencing right now, very similar to the Industrial Revolution, but at a speed that is incomprehensible. I mean...
So, just a quick follow-through question, which should have been the main question, really. There seems, especially in the no-code movement, which I totally, in some ways, totally support, you know, the ability to rapidly prototype, to build a minimum viable app, product, website, whatever it is. to find out if there's any service product fit to the target audience. These are all, to me, great concepts. But recently, I kind of seen people who, I think, underestimate the amount of experience they've got and underplay it and then overinflate what no more sophisticated no-code solutions can really do for you, especially in the WordPress space. Right. Do you think I'm on the right track there, or I'm sorry?
Yeah, so let's break out the tool set for a second. And there's some popular topics that are now up for debate because, by the way, I can speak directly about Matt Mullenweg because Matt Mullenweg is...
Do you have to? Because you've already got me interviewing.
Kicked out of the WordPress community by Matt Mullenweg's...
Well, I was never part of it, but...
This is like being kicked out of like a mall. I'm not really kicked out. I'm just... They just erased 18 years of my history on the blackboard, but it means nothing because it was not.
You're not bitter, are you, Spencer? Are you?
No, but I feel that this is relevant to the topic. So here's what goes down. When you have a group of people in this unusual situation where after 18, 19 years, we put together what is essentially running half of the internet as a framework and everybody is contributing the parts. We used to sit around a few of us in a campfire and it grew and grew and grew into this like ridiculously large thing. And in the ecosystem, Matt encouraged everybody to independently create solutions and to sell them in some way, but with the caveat that the code is always free. The code is always the part that's shared. That's the part of the open source, which is really important, which ended up being his own linchpin because it applies to the core as well as to the things people made. Now, I'm not going to talk about his behavior, but I'm talking about the marketplace that we've developed was based upon these series of principles. Now that we're here, we have people who have very capably come up with band-aids or solutions or replacements for some of the things missing in the core, as well as a decision about, well, how can you use the tools most efficiently? And in that sense, we've now got a few kind of big concepts. Full site editing, Gutenberg block, various page builders that still exist. And then you've got folks who are pals of mine, like Kevin Geary, who are like on the edge case saying, look, we can replace a lot of the metaphors of how even the core CSS framework works with another tool. What does it mean to mere mortals? It means that you're left with an even more complex set of questions, because imagine if you went to a store and instead of IKEA, where everything was organized and uniform and thought through and had the same, you know, language-less instructions and uniform around the world. Imagine if, depending on the day of the week, IKEA had different products from different people with different instructions, with different manufacturers, different terms, different like shelves. You would never get anything done. But when you go to IKEA, no matter where in the world, everything gets done. When you go to Lego store. So the difference is Mullenweg has never taken a position of let's make WordPress as a service that makes choices from the available stuff. And in doing so, make it easier for mere mortals to just walk into WordPress like they do Wix or Weebly, right? When you go to Wix, there's no who are you going to hire and what parts and what generation and which page builder. The schizophrenic nature of WordPress can be a real drag. So that is where I feel that the solution lies. It's right now being done on an individual level by several renegades, including myself, saying this is what I feel WordPress should be. But it really has been offered up by some people is this could be the future of WordPress as a platform if we wanted it. And that's where the AI kicks in as well. Because when everybody has a uniform set of tools and a platform, we can focus our energy in improving the singular AI use of this instead of what's happening now, which is me too. Look, I made a page builder that uses AI and it doesn't do shit. But like you're going to waste all week dicking around with it. Only to end up realizing it would have been faster just to use a blank page and just plop a couple blocks into it. And that's why I'm
frustrated. I see where you're coming from, but I don't quite agree with that.
I mean, that's why we know.
Because fundamentally, it's just an added element to what a starter theme is or a starter website or what term, whatever you want to use. So you don't have a blank sheet, a blank page, because a lot of people they, you know, it's just like writing. So my ex-wife was a fantastic writer, but she could never, half the time, she could never get over the blank page syndrome, getting going. She just froze. I'm a dyslexic, but I've never had that. Actually, when I get into it, I quite like putting my thoughts down.
Yeah.
You know, but I've never had a problem. But loads of people say it's the same metaphor, but it's on steroids, isn't it?
Well, but let's just break it out as to what's the real thing that's being improved or not. What I'm saying is the starter templates, particularly like I lean on the Cadence starter templates. They're beautiful. You can go to Astro, you go to Bricks. There's lots of starter templates, but all those are the various Gutenberg block components pre-designed into some suggested pages and layouts, right? But they're really helpful. In fact, they're so helpful that that's what I'm saying is the only thing you need. You just take the classic starter templates, and if you see one or more pages or even a whole theme that is appealing to you, I have tested and proven many times in public on live shows, it is faster and easier to simply go, I need a homepage for a membership site, and get it from the starter templates or from the design elements, and then change the words. That is infinitely faster and better than being forced to go through the gauntlet of some completely bullshit generic AI questionnaire and trying to hope that the results spit back by the robot are even remotely close to what you already looked at and said, yes, I want the double cheeseburger, just don't put pickles on it. I mean,
oh yeah,
what we're talking about.
Oh, thanks for that. You clarified it.
Does that help? I mean, does that, yeah, no.
Dude, I see where you're coming from there.
Ask the AI. Hold on. Like in my last show, I said, take a starter template page. Let's see if we just asked the generic ChatGPT even. Give me a page that has certain elements in it for selling something or other. And we did it, and we just copied the words into the starter template. Immediate success versus asking Cadence AI, make a page about this, and it came up with some random Disney, you know, parable or something. You see what I mean? Like there was less control because we will, in the AI's perspective.
They're already doing that with Snow White, aren't they?
We could do a live test now, but I mean, yeah. It put people to sleep. But I'm saying that's what happened.
I think the whole film was made by AI, actually. But there we go. So let's go for our break. We've had a fascinating discussion so far. I knew it was going to be a good one. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. We've had a feast on throwing AI into the ditch. Not really.
No.
Not really. I'm only kidding. But before we go into the fab second half, I want to point out, if you're looking for a great WordPress hosting partner, especially if you're building a membership, a community-focused website, and you want all the latest, best technology and people that really understand what you're trying to build, why don't you look at partnering with WP Tonic? We provide, like I say, all the technology, all the knowledge from a partner, plus some great packages aimed at you, the WordPress professional. You can find more by going over to wp-tonic.com/partners. wp-tonic.com/partners. We love to build something special together. Over to you, Kurt.
Hey, well, I feel like we've had some fun at the first part of the show, maybe even just poking a little bit of fun you know, WordPress.com's X account and their AI announcement. And you know, we mentioned Cadence and Astra and things like that. But let's look at the other side of this coin, the other side of the spectrum, because all three of us have admitted to using AI. I guess I'm the third one to admit it in this show, right?
Oh, I do it. Like, I can't live without AI anymore. That's the
point. I subscribe to this, what I consider a new tool, this Magi.ai thing, and it combines a bunch of tools together, which for me works really good because then I can kind of pick and choose what I'm using all in one screen. I don't like having to hunt and peck around different things. But anyway, I digress. From your perspective, Spencer, what's like the most exciting opportunity considering the blend of AI and WordPress, like in your mind? Like, what's your perfect use case for where we're at right now?
I mean, it's a great question. And I think it's important to say it. I'm not Luddite at all. I'm the opposite. I'm enthusiastic about AI. What I'm suggesting is what I'm about to elaborate upon, which is that we have a unique opportunity in the WordPress space in particular to deliver solutions that are based upon a framework that already runs not only half the internet, but that has an infinite array of built-in tools, which, although this sounds very geeky because you're into motorsports, I'm into it. You're into bikes, I'm into it. Like, if you start talking about, hey, I got a Shimano 7-speed 52 teeth crank, and somebody hears you, they're like, what? But when you get into WordPressing, it's super geeky. You realize, holy moly, we have every high-end feature plus a really simple PHP, HTML, CSS, even jQuery and Node.js. We have APIs. We have everything like a fairy tale to build anything. But here's where the future is, according to Uncle Spence. What I have discovered accidentally in doing the Minute Launch Kit and having all these customers where I've curated out the parts like IKEA is that all of a sudden we've got a private box that everybody can own and control. And through selective hosting partners who go along with what I've asked for, which is a modern Kubernetes container with CDN built in, like all the hosting stuff just taken out of the equation, almost like with cell phones. We don't think about it anymore. It's just 5G, it works. Okay. You have a box into which Uncle Spence and other people can use the AI to take your data and keep repurposing your data and the feedback loop of users to make it better and more attractive and more intelligent and more purposeful. And a singular entrepreneur, huge big thing here, a singular entrepreneur using that system can literally be like the Wizard of Oz, can literally be like Willy Wonka, but without the Oompa Loompas. You can essentially generate a business for the type of income that an individual definitely can live very comfortably on, but even a multi-million dollar a year company. Why? Because you've eliminated all of the variabilities, and also you've made free in a private box all of the data to train this infinite brain power upon. And that's where you can focus its energy like a magnifying glass, on the sidewalk onto a pinpoint of what you want it to do. So what I've done in a practical sense now is taken my clients and with the data they collect, products, product sales, customers' journeys, the marketing automation, the forms they filled out, the content they posted, the social networking stuff. All of that data is now available on the back end to be used as training in a private way for the AI to spit out customer support responses, new blog content, social media, answering questions in public, even with my voice. Jonathan has to do this. I have my voice in 11 labs, so I can make, hey, you want to listen to me on your jog or while you ride your bike instead of reading my stuff? Here's an audio answer. That is the future. That's amazing. Because what I'm focused 100% on, and so are my customers, is the relationship with people who say, I don't know what this AI thing is, but I really need it because all my competitors have it, or I've seen it on the TV. Can you please spoon feed it to me? And I do it at a price that is a SaaS price. You can get the whole kit and caboodle for $97 a month, or parts of it for $47, $20, whatever. But most people, the $97 achieves a replacement for tens of thousands of dollars of time, money, effort, heartbreak, and it still gives you that full ownership and control, which, by the way, is important to me because when you full circle back to the Ning thing I mentioned, 2006, they shut down 12,500 of my customers, all of their customers who used my stuff. They just threw them in the garbage. Does that sound like anything we're hearing about today? I think it does. I got kicked out of WordPress after 19 years, threw away all my stuff because somebody got the word from Mullenweg. Well, guess what? I already knew that was going to happen. So none of it affected me this time or my clients. Huge difference when you're building a business today. You can't just build on a SaaS platform without fear that somebody's going to don't like the way you're looking and shut your whole thing down. So you have to be proactive. And that's why I'm very bullish on AI. And by the way, the tools like you use, the compilation tools, those are amazing. I use several of those, Lindy, and I can go down a list.
Oh, don't go into that. Yeah, that's a separate question.
I actually kind of wanted to follow up with part of your answer there. And I'm really intrigued by this because I have certain clients in these spaces, or I should say close to these spaces. When I'm talking to a pure startup and they're talking about, oh, I want to automate this and AI that and AI the other, I'm like, you don't have any data yet. You don't have any content. What are you training this thing on? Like, if you think you're going to open it up and say, give me an answer from the internet, and it starts pulling data from like Prudential Insurance Company from 1978, you're giving the wrong information. So there's a certain level where if you're going to train the tool on the content, they have to have that content. Where do you see customers like as a barrier of entry to these kinds of tools?
Well, I mean, one of the big topics you're just alluding to, which is that we don't really have any guarantees other than a contractual promise that they're not going to use public data for their own purposes. So if you use a tool that's got a public interface, like most LLMs, you're essentially in the terms of service agreeing that whatever you put in there is likely going to end up in some training somewhere.
Yeah.
Who knows? Now, there are promises and contractual ones at that that have yet to be proven in court that if you use a promise of a API in your own website, or if you use one of the new, like Claude and Perplexity have these things which they claim they're your private reservoirs, containers, whatever. But either way, at least you're one step closer to what is promised to not end up like pictures of you in the shower on the internet. Okay. Now, what I'm saying to people is, as long as you're using a public LLM instead of, ironically, that very controversial Chinese one that came out, it was available in a standalone do-it-yourself. And they kind of said they looked through the code and it looks like it doesn't have any nefarious stuff if you host it yourself. But if you do use the hosted one, I mean, you know it's going right to the CCP. So in this case, if you use one of the private LLMs, or if I think you use a reputable company like Claude or ChatGPT, OpenAI, to API into your WordPress site, I think you can say safely that your data will remain inside of your site. That's the best I can offer to people, because I'm an attorney who did trial work. And one of the things that always amazes me, especially when the Mullenweg thing comes up, is people who don't understand how the court system works think it's like, you know, some LA law drama or some modern lawyer show where you just have contract and the whole case is over. No, it's just people arguing and then the trier of fact decides who's got enough information to persuade them. And it doesn't always work out that way. So if your private stuff ends up in the public realm, boohoo for you, because I don't think I can promise you it's not going to happen. But the benefit of trying it, at least in a limited way, super leverage. So your client can train it on some sample data, but then as they and their clients interact with the products, with the sales, with the social networking community, with reading blog posts, with submitting forms, all of that stuff can be used to improve and republish more stuff. And that's where the echo chamber effect, when done properly, can work in your favor. It can like magnify something that's very small into something very efficient.
Nice, nice. Thanks. Jonathan, over to you.
Yeah, I've got a kind of follow-through question. I just wonder if you've got any advice. I'm already noticing from some of our larger clients that are not that knowledgeable about WordPress, but they think they are. And they're already suggesting, well, why don't you just use a prompt and get some code and put it on a fully functioning production website that's driving their business? And Bob's the uncle. We'll have the solution. I've noticed on a few forums, so-called WordPress professional developers suggesting that they can develop a plugin instantaneously for a client on a live on a live Zoom, I can develop your solution and I can give it to you almost now and just put it into your live website.
Yeah.
And I listened to this and I just kind of shake my head. And I just think I'm losing the plot, really. Is it me, Spencer? Am I just old?
No, you're missing the important point. I don't usually ask you to do this because we're just going to show you real quick. Can you share, can you add this one thing in that I'm showing?
Sure.
The screen. Okay, so this is a screenshot from one of my demo sites where, again, I as a developer am mediocre. As a marketer, I think I'm exceptionally talented because I've been doing it since I was a kid. But coding skills only the last decade or so. AI has made it possible for somebody with basic coding skills in WordPress. I can do things in 1 hour that took me a month before to do. Now, this interface here is an example of what I was saying. This is an actual product. It's just I haven't released it to my audience officially yet, but it connects to the other things that I do. Whereas I was trying to explain to you, like, this allows me to take any number of AI engines with the key, 11 labs for coding voice, choose which of the custom post types or standard post types I want to use as a source. I can create all kinds of different product prompt templates, like how to answer this and that, and I can save them. And who is the responder? Like Dr. Hoover or Spencer Foreman. Now here, along with whatever automated connections I have, I can input the question or the prompt, plus which template, which responder, and I can even automatically generate the voice. Which, by the way, here's examples of that, where once I generate it, I save it in the very same website. Why is that important? Because then this actually becomes the content that's used by the AI along with the other stuff to generate new content. Yeah,
I think that's fine, but what I wanted to get from you is that there must be a middle ground here, because I don't want to come across as anti-productivity enhancements.
Okay.
So have you got any advice how you deal with a client that is not that says these things and isn't, you know, it's great to use all this new technology, but you do have to test it. Has it always been these people that just hack away at a full production website and it's just put it on steroids? Has it always been there, really?
Well, there's a decision tree that I'm going to say I think is universal here in WordPress. And it's different than, let's say, using a tool like Wix or Weebly, Squarespace, or something that's like automatic one-page page builder. Let's start with the basic premise. You have to always start with, why does a client need a solution? Some clients only need a one-page web solution. They don't need anything dynamic. They just need a billboard. For those people, WordPress is infinite overkill. Okay. So once you've eliminated that, now you have people who need something dynamic. You ask, like, what do you want to do with it? Right. Weebly. Exactly. What do you want to do? It's still there. What do you want to do with it? And if the features that you want to do involve things like transactional, membership, subscription content, if they have to do with like really attractive layouts or learning management, those complex things can be done elsewhere. But WordPress really offers a complex array of options in a very simple number of features like Lego blocks. Now, the question I'm answering is, well, what's the point? What's somebody to do in the future? The thing that you need to do now is decide, does your client give two hoots about you being such an awesome designer, or are they okay with you just picking a decent starter template and the mechanic? That's my whip pound. They're 10,000 year old wolf pounds that I recreated from DNA. Or whatever the dire wolf was. So what I'm saying is, Kevin Geary would talk about this as well, but it has to do with FS, full site editing or the page builders. Does it really matter to your client about design, or do they really just care about function? And for me, my clients are running businesses. Yes, they would like something reasonably attractive, but anybody who has an iPhone knows that the iPhones all look the same. It's what they do that matters. And I'm saying to my clients, we got some basic starter templates. Get your design thing from there. Take 2 minutes. But really, a logo and a basic color palette, that's all you need. Other people, and Kevin services those needs, are professional designers. They need a set of tools to make the rainbows and the unicorns and whatever. Okay, So what I'm saying is if your clients fit into the first category, the things that I'm alluding to are just snap together a select group of plugins with whatever AI tool you want to improve your ability to create content, post content, aggregate information, report to customers. And in doing so, you will have a box that you or your client owns that does the mechanics you need at a very low cost and at a very low cost of maintenance versus going off into the woods and chopping down trees and building, you know, forts out of wood and painting and all these. As soon as you go into the detail work, you've lost the whole purpose of what I'm talking about, which is just an off the shelf, go to IKEA, have lunch and buy stuff and work.
Over to you, Kurt.
I'm going to have to admit, I kind of got lost. I think we're at the last question, aren't we?
No, you got question about the AI tools.
Oh, well, there we go. So here we are with, because I thought we kind of touched it, but are there any AI?
I told Spencer to save his AI family of tools for this question, didn't I?
Save them. So let's just spit it out, man. What are the tools? Like, so what are your favorite AI tools or services that you're using?
So what's interesting, sorry, I didn't mean to cut off what you're asking.
All right.
So this is like relationships, all right? So when you think of and you start to play with it, first I didn't understand this. Now I infinitely understand this. I have a teenager who's 14. I have an adult, two adults. One is 21, 24 is my sons. And I remember they're little kids. I had to speak differently with them. I got different responses as they matured and so forth. Okay. When you deal with LLMs, you have different companies providing different flavors and features, but they're also like teenagers to adults. Sometimes they're like infants to adults, and sometimes they're like adults with senility, because depending on who you try and when you try it and whether they've upgraded it, you can have a tool that's the best at coding. For example, out of all of the ones that you can list, right? You got OpenAI, you got Anthropic, which is Claude, you've got Gemini, you've got Grok, you've got Llama. I could go down the list, all the individual engines, and the Chinese one, I forgot the name of because I just, what is it again? Deep Think. I can't, Deep Seek, right? Okay. So of all of those, Claude Sonnet 3.7, has been the one that's given me the best results of coding. Now, what that means is Spence, instead of sitting down and going like hand coding stuff and like asking questions and searching Google and, you know, all the stuff that used to take me forever, I can figure out a pain point I want to solve that's either a standalone plugin or part of what I've offered and just get that solution in an hour, go to lunch, take a walk, and publish it. Now, the problem with Claude Sonnet is up until this week, yesterday, they set a limit on output at what is called 200 kilobits, which is essentially like maybe like 200 lines of code. An average plugin is going to be 1500 to 2000 lines of code. So when it would give me the answer, it would go, I've got the best answer. I have hit my limit. And I think enough people like me complain that they at least put a continue button in. But it's sort of like if you asked your friend, hey, where should we go to lunch? And they go, I know the best restaurant. And they hit their limit. And you go, continue. So Claude Sonnet now has a plan. You can pay 10 times more to get 10 times more output, right? I can pay instead of 20, I can pay 200, or I can pay 5 times to get 100, which might be worth it to me because it's the best coder. Now, what does the best day-to-day stuff? OpenAI has 6-7 flavors. It's insane. I don't know what's going on with those guys. But the Mini O3 was the closest that was good at making code. And then they bastardized that thing and like cut its brain off because now it doesn't understand how to answer a question. Now they've got Mini 04, they've got 4.5, they got 4.5 with Canvas, they got Super Light, they got Diet, they got Kosher. They've got everything under the sun. I don't know which one to use because every time I get used to using one, if you gave the same prompt to 4 of their models, you get 4 different answers. But I do think it's the best one for the general population because it's available everywhere for everyone. And now of the other two that are free and basic, before I talk about Perplexity, if you use Twitter, whether you like Elon Musk or not, if you ask Grok questions, it'll give you like 20 or 30 free, really good answers, believe it or not, even coding answers. But it's very unreliable because you can tell that they've taken all of the safety nets off of it for their own selfish purpose. Like if you ask a lunatic question of ChatGPT, it sort of goes, are you feeling okay? With Grok, it gives you a straight face answer that you'd be shocked at. Llama, a complete waste of time. I don't know what's going on there, but Zuckerberg does not know what he's doing with this thing, and it reflects itself. Try Llama, try to ask it to do anything, and you wonder what's happening.
Too busy in the green.
Gemini is a more atrocious bastardization because that's Google. If you go into google.com and ask a question, it's using Gemini to come up with the first answer. Everybody sees this now. But if you ask it to do things like coding or, you know, what's the best topic, you know that they're dicking around with the algorithm on there. They're trying to turn it into a business model that is like pointing to answers that nobody would point to. Now, there's intermediary tools that are actually a hybrid without being a full compilation like you were talking about. So instead of using a service that has multiple LLMs, one of the LLMs that's unique is Perplexity. Perplexity is like a hybrid between a search engine, a librarian, a file cabinet, and a really good friend. Because Perplexity is where I go to do research on my medical stuff. I have a lot of long-term chronic back pain and other surgical stuff. Perplexity allows you to create what we talked about, which was, I think, a reasonably private assumption of your data not ending up there. And you can put it into a folder. I know. Someday you're going to see my MRI. But the point is, I was able to, for example, put in my MRIs, put in my CT scans, put in my surgical reports, and actually do research on... I know this sounds funny, but hold on, Jonathan. I want to actually, because you're a person who had some medical treatment as well. Anybody who deals with the modern medical system, and I used to be a professional trial attorney, a licensed real estate person. I don't have a medical license, but I was dealing with malpractice. I know the people who are doctors. They're all my peers. They're 58-year-old men and women, okay? They're just human beings. If you go to your doctor and you're lucky enough to get an appointment within the next decade and they actually see you and they have more than 30 seconds to talk to you, their answer in no way possible is as good as what you get right now by asking the question of Perplexity. I put my medical records into Perplexity, asked it a series of questions, and I compared it to what my doctors told me. And it was really scary. Sad spirit.
Oh my God, fathers.
In the same way, by the way, let's relate this to web developers. If somebody had a tool that was honest, like the kid in the Emperor's New Clothes story, and said, I just want to do this with my business, it would be able to give them an answer about you don't need a $250,000 agency and you don't need to pay HubSpot $1,700 a month and you don't need to do the blah, 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 blah. But the problem is there's not one singular source of truth, but that's what happens. Perplexity is a cool, awesome, really neat tool for anybody who wants to just save a lot of stuff mixed with private data. And by the way, they have a feature where you can build a public web page, like on a topic, which is sort of like, what's that wiki? I forgot Jimmy Wales' thing, Wikipedia. It's like a Wikipedia thing you can make on a topic that you can share publicly. Finally, there's Chris, and that's true, right? It's academic gold. And then finally, there's these compilation tools, which are services. I can name a bunch of them, but Lovable and Poe and Lindy. What they're doing is they're third-party people that do like I was showing I'm doing in a plugin form of like, just add all of your favorite engines into this thing, and then you can save private data. You can set up your prompts. You can do it in a way that essentially lets you cross-purpose around a bunch of teenagers instead of asking one teenager. Because here's what happens to me. At the end of the day, I save an infinite amount of time because I know what I want and I know what it was supposed to be. If you don't know what you want or what it was supposed to be, you better strap in because your 14-year-old has just put you in the back of the station wagon with your hands tied in a blindfold and they're driving with a six-pack in the front seat. Because that's what most LLMs are giving people today. Just rando answers out of the, you know.
Yeah, I think curation is the key word here. I think we're going to end the podcast part of the show. Can you stay on for another 10 minutes or do you have to be
sure.
Yeah. I'm going to ask Spencer about intellectual property, IP, and I'm going to ask him his views where we find the WordPress community in the beginning of April. But we're going to end the podcast show. So, Spencer, what's the best way for people to find out more about you, what your latest thoughts, ideas, what's the best medium?
You can get WordPress as a service directly from me at wplaunchify.com. And my socials are all at SpencerForman, F-O-R-M-A-N.com. With what I offer, it's 100% money-back guarantee because the kit itself is the software, unlimited support from me via email, and the hosting if you want it. You can buy it a la carte. But the neat thing is that's like going into a SaaS company, but you own it and you control it for yourself and your clients. And that's the big differentiator, as I indicated. So come on and try it out. There's virtually nothing to lose. And it works with all the other stuff you want to use. You're just on your own recognizance. Once you start, you know, attaching stuff to the things you bought from the Lego store, you have to either figure that out on your own or pay me to help figure it out. What I've done is gotten rid of all the uncertainty when everybody uses the same stuff that's been curated out.
That's fantastic. And Kirk, what's the best way for people to find out what your latest thoughts on what you're up to?
Business stuff on the blog is at Mañana No Más, mañananomás.com. And then if you want to connect person to person, hit me up on LinkedIn. Jonathan, I don't know if you know this or not, but I am the only Kurt Von Annen on LinkedIn and easy to find.
Unique. Just unique. We're going to end the podcast, the show. We're going to have some bonus content. You can watch the whole of the interview plus the bonus content by going over to the WP Tonic YouTube channel and subscribe to that. It's rapidly growing. I'm getting close to 10,000 subscribers. So please do that, and we'll be back next week with another great interview. Fully booked out for the next couple of months. I'm amazed at the quality of people that have agreed to come on this show for a chat. We will be back next week. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.